Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to Off the Beaten Track podcast. How you all doing? It's another week, therefore it's another episode. And today's episode, I get to sit down with Neil Jones of Stone Foundation. And you're in for a treat because it's an absolutely wonderful chat. We talk about the new record. We talk about recording that record at Paul Weller Studios, their relationship with Paul, and so much other stuff. It's a wonderful chat, this one. And before we get on to it, just a few thank yous quickly. Thank you to Scroobius Pip and everybody at the Distraction Pieces Network. Thank you to 76 for producing this podcast. And if this is your first time listening to Off the Beaten Track, once you finish listening to this conversation, then have a look in the back catalogue because you'll have access to go and listen to my chats with the likes of, blimey, where to start, Steve Craddock, Mark Baxter, Mick Talbot of the Style Council, some of the artists that we talk about during this podcast, artists like Chuck D, Fatboy Slim. So go and have a rummage in the archives once you've finished listening to this episode. And if you even want more content then and you'd like to support the podcast, then there's a Patreon page, and each week I put up 4 shows where I play records and talk, and I put up some exclusive interview episodes as well and some video episodes, and you can support that for about 87p a week, I think, and get a big bundle of content there. And so any kind of support on that side of things is amazing because this is a labour of love. Anyway, let's get back to today's episode. And yeah, strap yourselves in. It's a wonderful chat, this. Please enjoy Off the Beaten Track with Neil Jones at the Stone Foundation.
It's Off the Beaten Track podcast on the Distraction Pieces Network. With me, Stu Whiffin.
We're recording. I'm joined today, right. Neil Jones. Hello.
Hello, mate. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. I'm good. So we've already had a quick chat. We've got lots of mutual friends, and so I'm looking forward to this. You've sent me the tracks in advance, so I've had a little look through them, and there's some choice records there. And before we get on to talking records, I just want to know how you found the last 7-8 months as a human and a creative.
It's been different. It's been challenging, but also I think we've sort of got the most out of it, really. I mean, when this all began, I was sat at home with my mum and dad, actually. I was down in Cornwall. I'm back at my place now, but I was in Cornwall, and I thought to myself, we can either stay in our little hutches and do nothing throughout this entire thing, or we can get sort of proactive and get some music out to people, because I was seeing all my social media threads and realising just how much people were struggling through some of this, you know. So we had this idea that we'd start putting on these online events, online Stone Foundation events, which kind of culminated in this sort of festival where we did like an acoustic stage. So we basically got in touch with all the people who we collaborated with on our records over the years. And I couldn't believe the response, Stu. It was mental, like how many people got back. We had, on this one day, we had people send us all these acoustic tracks. We had Graham Parker, Paul Weller. We had Linville Golding out the Specials, Amish Stewart out the Average White Band. All these people were sending us these little videos of them doing acoustic things. So we put on this sort of Stone Foundation and Friends Festival Day. which was just an unbelievable success, really, you know. And I'm just so glad we did. I'm so glad we didn't sit on our hands throughout it all. We sort of found some footage from tours in Japan and Germany, and we put on these, like, sort of online events where people could come together and interact, really, with each other. And it was such an uplifting thing, really. We do one a month, essentially. And it was just lovely to give people something during a time when they just had nothing. Because, like, as you well know, music is like, it's like a medication, isn't it, man? If we haven't got that, we're missing a big part of our life, you know. So it was important for us to do that kind of thing.
What an incredible thing to do. And, you know, I mean, just to throw it in there, yeah, Paul Weller sent a song over. I mean, how good's that? I mean, you know, that's. I'm quite aware he's a fan, isn't he? I know.
The last three records we recorded at Paul's place, and obviously, whenever we're in there, he always jumps on our stuff. Like, he sang on the last record on the track "Deeper Love." And he's always like a kid in a sweet shop when he's got other musicians in his studio. He's like, all of a sudden he's on your shoulder going, I can hear a bit of piano on this, Jamesy. I can hear a bit of guitar on this. I'm like, yeah, go on then, go on, have a go. So, like, that's really cool. But, yeah, it was just really nice, really, because we knew we had the new record in the bag. So that was coming out sort of, well, it came out last month. And so we knew that was kind of ready and waiting to go. And we just thought, we need to do stuff for people here because, like, you know, I was seeing some of the comments from people were, like, really desperate during the early months of it all. I thought we need to put some music on for people because everyone's struggling. And it just seemed to do the trick. It really sort of gave some positivity in a dark situation, you know.
Oh, wonderful. What a great thing to do. Well, you touched on the fact that you know, in this weird time, music's clearly a positive and definitely something that people take comfort in. So let's start today's playlist. And for track one, mate, I'm going to ask you what song you regard as having the greatest ever intro.
Right. So I chose Talk Talk the Rainbow. The reason I chose this, I know you messaged me straight away. I went, yes, beautiful. the reason I chose this, I think as I was getting into my 20s, this record was played to me by Neil Sheesby, who I write the songs with in Stone Foundation. And I just remember it having an incredibly profound effect on me. I think the mood when I was played, it had everything to do with the impact it had on me. I remember, like, low candlelight. I remember a possible sort of Fatima Whitbread javelin in my hand at the time. and I just remember thinking, this is the most incredible thing I've ever heard in my life. You know what I mean? It just sounded like cinema music to me, but like created by a genius, which I think Mark Hollis was, really.
Go on, carry on.
No, I was gonna say, because it all kind of culminated in, I remember about 2 years after it was played to me, we ended up supporting Nine Below Zero in Liverpool. And Mark Felton was playing, as he does with Nine Below Zero. Funnily enough, our trumpet player Dave does a bit with them occasionally. And me and Sheez went straight up to him and started talking to him about this record. And he thought we were going to talk about Oasis or something like that, you know what I mean? Or playing on what he's played on millions of things. And he was like, you know that record? And we were like, yeah, it's absolutely incredible. I mean, the opening bars on his harmonica are incredible.
Yeah. It's, I mean, regarding that intro, I don't know when the intro becomes the song.
Exactly.
It's so gradual, isn't it? And it's so beautiful that before anything happens, I think you're just lost in it by the time anything starts to gather any sort of pace. Do you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely, absolutely. I think there's like weird elements to it as well. There's like a sort of noise, which to me sounds like a rotary speaker or something, where you can hear like a clicking thing going on. It's just incredibly atmospheric. And I think I was just so lucky to be played that at a time when I could appreciate it. Do you know what I mean? I'd gone through my early teens listening to certain music. And then as I came into my 20s, I think I was ready for like proper grown up music yeah. then, you know what I mean? That's what that record is for me. It's a proper grown up record.
It's definitely a grown up record. That's such a brilliant way to explain it, because you know, I grew up obsessed with, you know, growing up in sort of, you know, Basildon and Essex, you know, grew up obsessed with, I mean, Talker from Essex, and you know, growing up fiercely proud of, you know, your Depeche Modes and your Vince Clarks and your you know, your Hollises. It was like, and I was just obsessed with all the early stuff, and I still absolutely adore early Talk. I think, like, you know, the pop stuff is
yeah
incredible music, and then seeing the kind of performance at the Montreal Rock Festival where they were playing Give It Up, and I remember thinking, oh, this sounds a bit more kind of grown up. And then by the time you get the Spirit, it's like, whoa, okay, this is different level now. And like, it's you know, you can clearly see that band maturing, you know, with every album. And I think, you know, for a good 10-15 years, you know, when, you know, after Talk had stopped, you know, producing music, they weren't getting the respect they deserved. And it feels the last sort of, you know, 5-10 years, all of a sudden bands are referencing Talk, and they're getting that kind of, you know, respect that they deserve, because they're an absolutely phenomenal outfit.
Yeah, incredible, mate, incredible. I mean, it's funny you mentioned the Montreux thing, because the two things that, I mean, touring, remember touring? When did we do that? About a year and a half ago. But whenever we tour a lot in Europe, and whenever we went on the long journeys through sort of Europe, the two DVDs that would be mainly on repeat in the van would be the Talk one live at Montreux and the Average White Band. They were the two Montreux videos that we'd always put on, you know, on repeat.
Nice.
And, just an amazing band, and quite incredible, really, when you watch them live try and replicate some of that stuff. It's pretty phenomenal, really.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Definitely. For track two, I'm going to ask you the first song you remember hearing that had an emotional impact on you, please.
Right, okay. I'm going to... I had to think... This was the one I had to think long and hard about, because I was really fortunate that I grew up in such a loving family with a dad who had such a great record collection. And, like, I could have picked a number of tunes. I was thinking, do I pick Steely Dan? Because, like, he was always playing Steely. Do I pick, like, Rory Gallagher, who's massive. The Beatles were huge for me when I was growing up as a kid. But the one song that always kind of resonates with me is Gallows Pole by Led Zeppelin. And the reason being, two reasons, actually. One was the incredible cover, because as a kid, it had the kaleidoscope cover that you could turn round, like the wheel disc thing, which I thought was ace as a kid. And I remember playing with that under correct supervision, obviously, because my dad would flip me around the ears. But I remember playing with that. And I also remember really vividly my dad singing the lyrics. And when you're a little kid and you're like looking at your old man singing, it's quite an emotive thing, really. You think, he really loves this. You know, like when you see someone singing with their eyes shut and they're really getting into something. And I have this incredibly fond memory of seeing my dad do that when I was a little lad, you know what I mean? And I think it just stuck with me. And also, what an absolutely incredible band Led Zeppelin were as well, you know. Which I can imagine now all the mods who follow our band going, oh, but that's not mod. But they were just a great band, a great rock and roll band.
What was the emotion you got seeing your dad sitting there singing away?
It's kind of, it connects with you in the sense where you think there's something here that's moving someone to voice their sort of feelings about it. So you can see, can't you, when someone loves music. Music is such like an incredible sort of international language, in the sense that whether you're a little boy or you're growing up in, I don't know, France or Africa or wherever you're growing up, it's the connection's just there from birth, isn't it, with music, whether your mom's singing to you a lullaby as a kid or whether you're around it as like a 3-4-year-old, which I would have been, you know. There's pictures of me wearing these ridiculously mad earphones when I was a little kid with a sort of Rudy Voller haircut I had.
Nice. So where was you then? Where was home then?
So I grew up in Tamworth. So I was, all my family's from Birmingham, as you can probably gather from the dulcet tones, mate. So all my family's from Birmingham, Ward End and Acocks Green. That's where they sort of grew up. But then I was born in Sutton Coldfield, and all my informative life, I grew up in Tamworth, really. That was where I grew up, which was, you know, it was all right, man. It was quite a nice childhood, you know, growing up around the sort of an overspill of Birmingham, really.
Yeah. Well, let's talk growing up then, because for track three, I'm going to ask you about the song that reminds you of your time at school, please.
Right, okay. So I am going to pick Soothe Me by Sam and Dave. And this is probably, I would say, there's a couple of things that probably influenced me. I know we're going to get onto something else in a bit, but this was one of the things that sort of just drew my attention to the soul thing, really. I had a best mate at school called Paul Chadwick, Chad, as he was affectionately called. And we used to spend like evenings or afternoons after school. We'd go back to his and we'd find our way up into his bedroom, and he would have nicked a load of his dad's vinyl. He was one of the first lads I know who had like the MIDI system, you know, where you had the vinyl all built in. So we'd like play vinyl and we'd make these mixtapes. And literally his dad was like, he had this incredible blues and soul collection. So, you know, we'd be playing like Sam Cooke, Otis Redding, Marvin Gaye, all these things that we'd find. And I just remember this being one of those tunes that as soon as I heard it, I think it was the first time I heard people sing, and I thought, I'd love to make music like that. I'd love to sing like that. You know, that emotion that you get with soul music. And in that track in particular, that really sort of fired my imagination. And I think really good soul music, especially from that period, it takes you to a time and place, doesn't it? It takes you across the ocean, really.
It's so weird that you mentioned Sam Cooke then. Because I heard Sam Cooke sing that first.
Ah, right, okay.
Like, have you heard his version of that?
Yeah, I have, Beautiful. I love the Sam and Dave one because of the comparisons in the vocal, the way that they both bounced off each other and the moodiness of it. And, I mean, it also fired my lifelong love affair with like Memphis soul as well. You know what I mean? I've been so fortunate over the years to become good friends with a lot of musicians in Memphis. I've done loads of road trips to America where I just wanted to go to the place where the music was made. You know what I mean? So like I've been to like Royal Studios. I mean, the wonder of this year, Stu, is that this was the year I was meant to be going to Royal Studios to record at Boo Mitchell's place, Willie Mitchell's son, he still runs Royal Studios. So there was a few of us going out to record this year in June, and all the flights got cancelled.
Oh, mate.
So it was one of those years where we were set to do something really special. But hopefully it might come around again. I know you've had Mick on, Mick Talbot. Mick Talbot was going to be involved.
Oh, really?
We were going to do some really interesting stuff out there. But, you know, that hopefully will come to fruition again. But, yeah, it was just a track that fired a sort of lifelong love affair with Stax as well. I mean, I've been to the recreated Stax studio a few times, and that is an incredible experience, that is. That's probably one of the only museums I've been in where I've actually cried.
Wow.
Because it's such a powerful place to be, you know what I mean?
So just touching on school a little bit before we move on, like, How was it? Did you enjoy it?
I hated school. I hated it, mate. I was never one of the cool kids at school. I was like one of the kids that I would have to try and make someone laugh so I didn't get my head kicked in. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean, mate.
There were certain parts of our school before they did it up. I'd say first, second, third year, and then they put a load of money into school, into the school. Wilnecote High School I went to, mate. Its most famous pupil, I believe, was Julian Cope.
Oh, really?
Yes, there you go. There's a little bit of inside information. Because I remember sort of mentioning something about music to the careers advisor. And she told me this story about a young lad called Julian Cope saying he wanted to be a musician. And she saying to him, well, you'll never amount to anything. And then she saw him on Top of the Pops. So the first 3 years, I remember there were certain areas where as a young kid, you would not go down a certain corridor because you know you'd be in severe trouble. You know what I mean? It was a bit of a strange one for me. I didn't really sort of get all that. I went to college and university afterwards, and I loved that. That was when I came out myself more. But at school now, I weren't one of the cool kids at school by a long chalk.
Was you a creative kid, though?
Yeah, definitely. I loved art. I was always into my sport. I either wanted to be a professional footballer or a musician, basically. Or, to be honest, I was into my acting as well. I went to acting school after school, you know what I mean? To some of the clubs there, and I played at the Birmingham Repertory Theatre when I was a little lad in Our Day Out, I think it was, the Willie Russell play. And, I did loads of stuff like that when I was a kid. So I loved all of that sort of thing. But, it was just the other side of it, mate. It was, you know... I hope school's changed a bit now, but when I was a kid, it was very much you had kids who would like sort of maraud around the school, and you'd sort of give them a wide berth because they were sort of the hierarchy of the kids who would literally deck you.
Yeah. It's always the ones that gave them the wide berth that turn out to have the more interesting lives, though.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely, mate, absolutely, yeah. I think when you look back at things and you look back at social media is a great sort of barometer for that, isn't it? You look at social media sometimes and you see some of the kids who used to give you a good hiding. And they're the lads who were sort of, I don't know, they've sort of lost their way a little bit in life. Do you know what I mean? And I sometimes view those people and think, so it wasn't all that good, really. Was it sticking my head down a toilet?
Totally, totally.
You know? Not that I had that done. I didn't have that done. I escaped that, but I knew kids who did have that done.
It's so weird. That was the thing that, like, when I went into secondary school, it was like, yeah, you know, like, on your birthday, like, someone will flush your head down the toilet. And I was like, what? And, like, I don't think I ever heard anyone actually get their head flushed down the toilet. Honestly, it didn't happen to me. But I remember it was one of the things going into secondary school. I was petrified that, like, it was just part of school. I was going to have my head flushed down a toilet.
Maybe it was part of urban myth. I don't know. But, like, I mean, I remember probably the worst thing that happened to me. I remember getting cornered in one of the in one of the corridors and being absolutely hammered with stink bombs. Remember stink bombs?
Yeah.
And I remember I had this rather tasty grey, well, it looked like a life preserver. And that just got absolutely hammered. And I had to chuck it. And my mum had to chuck it away because that was it ruined, basically, woven into the fabric.
that was the day. That was back in the day when, like, one of the coolest places you could ever go to was a joke shop. You could go in a joke shop,
yeah,
and buy stink bombs and, like, snap-its and, you know, plastic dog turds. It was like, it was just amazing, a joke shop. Never see them anymore. Okay, well, let's stay back in those formative years, mate. And for track four, I'm going to ask you the first song you remember buying from a record shop.
Okay, yeah, I remember my mum and dad got me a said MIDI hi-fi player. You know, we were talking about them earlier. And that was like the best Christmas present ever. I remember unwrapping that. And they bought me, the first 7-inch they bought me was Nina Cherry Buffalo Stance.
Oh, what a record.
I know that was the first 7-inch I got bought. But as soon as I, you know, had the MIDI board for me, I thought, right, I need to get to a record shop. And I remember the first actual vinyl 7 I bought was a flip A-side. I actually preferred the double A rather than the single A. It was by De La Soul, and it was Three's the Magic Number. But the flip side, there was a slightly different version from the record on 3 Feet Iron Rising. It was a version of Buddy, and it obviously had Tribe Called Quest on there and all.
Everyone.
Queen on there, yeah. Everyone's
Money Love
on there. Yeah, all those guys, the Jungle Brothers, they were all on that track. And I just remember I absolutely battered that 7-inch.
Yeah.
It's still somewhere behind me here as well, actually. I've kept that for that. That's always at the top of the pile, you know what I mean?
I'm going to give you a little Zoom high five there, man, because that is my absolute favourite De La song, as well, mate. Buddy's it's where it's all about Buddy. That's such a tune, and it kind of gets overlooked.
Yeah, I love the I mean, yeah. Say what? Love all that stuff. It's brilliant, man. And but yeah, I think that, as I was alluding to earlier with the Soothe Me thing with Sam and Dave, I was hearing like stuff that was actual soul music, but then when I got into hip hop, funnily enough, me and my mate Chad both sort of gravitated from hearing his old man's records, soul and funk, going into the hip hop thing, and then thinking, where did they get that sample from?
Yeah.
Or where's that come from? You know, when you're in all these great loops, and that then fired your imagination to think, I need to find out where's that come from? You know what I mean? And then when you start realizing that it's like the JBs and all the influences that were being used, it's incredible, man.
Yeah, and you know, props to 3 Feet Iron Rising. What a mental and amazing record that is. And
yeah,
just a game changer, you know. I mean, you mentioned all them artists that are on Buddy. That whole kind of Daisy Age hip-hop scene was just felt so different from, you know, and I'm taking nothing away from, you know, the likes of, you know, Rakim and Public Enemy and stuff like that. But
yeah,
all of a sudden, there was just this really kind of like lazy sounding hip hop that sat so nicely with what was going on in the UK with, you know, the kind of the Roses and the Mondays, that whole baggy thing. It was just that second Summer of Love. Dayla just seemed to slide into that perfectly. Like,
yeah.
Oh. Wonderful album.
I mean, inspirational, really, when you've got guys hearing like All & Oates and thinking, I could sample that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just, it was incredible, really, to hear some of that. I mean, I was really, like you say, I was really into hip hop in general. I think that particular period of hip hop, where you're looking at like Run DMC, Public Enemy, EPMD, Booyah Tribe, Big Daddy Kane, all these incredible, it was like, Ice-T, all those guys. It was just an incredible period of music, man. It was so creative. Me and Cheese were talking about the documentaries that have been on recently on Netflix, you know, and there's some great stuff on there that you can really tune into, and it takes you back to that time and place of creativity. It was like, for me, it felt like my punk music, you know what I mean?
100%.
It was like, I missed all of that. And like, I was the kid at school going in with, we used to go to Oasis in Birmingham and buy Raiders jackets. And they did these like gun holster wallets.
Yep.
So we buy these gun holster wallets. I actually had a flat top at one point, and and we buy like the what my dad always referred to as the cricket pads sneakers. Yep. You know what I mean? So we were really completely 100% immersed in it. It was an amazing. So I was third base, another band.
Oh,
I loved a lot.
Wow!
Along with the Beastie Boys, you know, incredible.
Talking like you say in the recent sort of documentaries that have been on, if you get a chance, I rewatched it again. They've put up the Prophets of Rage, which is the Public Enemy story on the BBC iPlayer.
Yeah.
Oh, hearing the Bomb Squad talking about just making, you know, Public Enemy records, then hearing I Know Your Soul by Eric B. and Rakim, and just thinking, all right, oh, hang on, we've just
got. I mean, absolutely, mate. I mean, for me, they were all akin to the soul singers I was listening to. You know, I idolized those guys. You know, for me, their struggles were so different from mine as a kid who felt alienated at school, and I didn't feel like I had an identity really where I was growing up. And their struggles were so much harder and from a different kind of place, but I still sort of connected with what they were saying. You know what I mean? It was like an anger. It was I want to be somebody. I want to be somebody in this life, you know. And like, I remember the first time I heard Chuck D like rap. For me, he was like my Otis Redding. You know what I mean? The guy had just such clarity and such an incredible tone to his voice.
So precise, Yeah. Like, his delivery, he's like, I mean, he's like one of my absolute heroes. And I was somehow, it happened that like a month ago, I got to have him guest on here. And
yeah, I saw that, man.
It was just, I had to rein it in. I'm not lying. I was shaking like a shitting dog for the whole half an hour. Just thinking, how's this little lad from Essex like talking to Chuck D? If you would have told me that in 1988, oh mate,
it's brilliant. I was tuning into some of his stuff during the lockdown. You know, he was doing certain things, and I could just listen to that guy speak for forever, really, because I think not only is he extremely eloquent, he's supremely educated, and just got one of them voices that just you could just sit down and go, just talk to me, you know, just tell me about stuff. And you know, some of their latest stuff as well has been magnificent. It's been like just a return to, you know, hearing him and Flav bouncing off each other. It's just incredible, man.
Remind me when we finish this, because I mean, by the time this episode comes out, it'll probably be out anyway, but I'll give you, I interviewed someone else the other day that's done this insane remix of it. I'll tell you all about it, because it's one of the most incredible things I've ever heard, so I'll tell you about that afterwards. But let's talk clubbing for track 5, the song that soundtracked your year's clubbing, please.
Right, okay. Well, I'm going to go for Loaded by Primal Scream. And obviously the Andy Weatherall remix, God rest his soul, because that to me just defines where I was in that space, in that time. You alluded to like talking about the Stone Roses and the Mondays. And we at the time I was a student up in Preston, at Preston University. And we would usually of the weekend, if we didn't go out in Preston, we'd head over to Manchester and we'd go to some of the clubs in Manchester. And that song just takes me back to a place and a time of just sheer joy. You know what I mean? For me, university was like everything. I completely embraced it. I learned absolutely fuck all too, but I completely embraced it in the sense of, this is what I really feel for kids now, man, because they're missing out on this. They've just had a year took off them. You know what I mean?
Oh, and mate, tell me about it. My daughter's 18 next Thursday. What's she going to do? What's she going to do on her 18th birthday? It's crazy, man.
It is crazy. And like, you know, I know a couple of my mates and their sons are going to like Birmingham Uni, or they're going further afield. And for me, university was the best school you could ever go to because it taught you how to be someone. It taught you how to be a man. And I'm not talking about like or a woman. And I'm not talking about like the actual teaching itself. I'm just talking about the socialising.
You find your tribe, don't you?
It's incredible, mate. We were in a thing called the Whiskey Club, right? And we used to buy a bottle of cheap Spa whiskey every Friday before we'd either head to
Shout out to Spa whiskey there.
Oh, mate. Unbelievable. It's amazing. I've still got vocal cords, to be honest with you. And we bought these like little white mugs that we'd put our names on the bottom of in like a shitty biro. So we'd have our names and we'd all like go and go, cheers, yes, well, let's have a great weekend. And then we'd just go out and have a crack, you know what I mean? And but yeah, Loaded was like one of them tunes. You know, like when it sort of all came into place, then it felt like when I was going out as a kid, all of a sudden I wasn't like on the outside anymore. I was in it, you know what I mean? I was a part of it. I felt like I could like thrust my chest out and go, oh, I fucking love this music, you know what I mean? And,
well, when was this? So when was you like clubbing? What year would that have been?
This would have been early 90s. I did actually write this down. I had to try and remember. Yeah, it would have been around, let's just try and work this out. It's got to be about early 90s, I would have thought. 75, 85, 90. Yeah, I'd say about 93, 94.
What a time to go clubbing in indie clubs. Wow.
I know. It was brilliant, mate. I mean, I remember like our first lads' holiday away was in Tenerife, which I absolutely hated. But it was a great time because like you felt like so optimistic. Everything felt optimistic. We didn't really go to many of the boozers. We used to have this big like sound system that we took with us and we put tapes in and just blast it out over the pool at night time and just have drinks and stuff. And just it was just like such an optimistic time to be a sort of 18, 19 year old kid, you know. And the music was there. It sat to soundtrack that period.
Track six. Favourite song from an artist from your home county, please.
Right, okay. Let's go with the legend that is Mr. Stevie Winwood and his band Traffic. And I decided to pick 40,000 Headmen. The reason I picked this was because when me and Neil Sheesby first got Stone Foundation together, we had all these grandiose ideas where we wanted a string section. When we played, we wanted a horn section. The horn section came back and is now a staple of the band, which is fantastic. But we had all these ideas. We had these visual ideas behind us and stuff. And one of the things that we did during the night was the band went off and I played an acoustic version of this track with a four-piece quartet. And I always just remember the first time I heard this song. It was just incredible. I used to love singing and playing it because Steve's voice, when he hits like those high notes, when his voice sounds on the verge of cracking, it's just perfect, man. I loved obviously the Spencer Davis group, but Traffic for me was the band I really got into around the time I was buying like boot cut chords and stuff like that, you know what I mean? I was wearing beads and I was getting into it all then, you know. It made sense to me, that music did.
Was that an important time, that kind of, I guess that would have been maybe a couple of years later when the, what was this, would have been when kind of the acid jazz thing was kicking in, like, and kind of the Galliano's and the Talking Lad and that kind of scene?
Yeah. I loved all of that. I loved the jazzmatazz stuff, all that kind of thing, you know. But like, it was a different time, weren't it, Stu? You could go out into like Birmingham Town Centre, and you had a pick of about five or six really incredible shops. I remember Yo-Yo being one, and there was a few others down in the middle of Brum by Chinatown, where you could go and buy this incredible secondhand stuff, like cords and jean jackets and all these like certain clothes that they just seem to have vanished now. There's no shops like that anymore. That, where did all that stock go? That's what I want to know.
I think it's all down on Brick Lane. You go to Brick Lane and there's about 500 kind of vintage shops now, all still punting out second-hand jeans and jean jackets. Yeah, get yourself down there. Get yourself some beads.
That's what I need, a good pair of flared slides again, mate.
All right, yeah. For your last track, mate, I'm going to ask you to play DJ and tell me a song that many may not know that you would like them to hear, please.
Okay, there was two choices I was going to go for with this, but I've gone with...
You can throw to him. You can have an honourable mention as well.
Oh, thank you very much. Right, well, I'm going to go for these two because recently I've had these played to me. We were talking about the Weller connection and obviously Paul being so gracious to us. The last three records, he's just let us record at his gaff, which has been amazing. And I've had both of these songs, one of which I bought for him on 45, which was Jimmy Gresham and The Garden of Love. And the song that he played me recently was a song called Slow Down by Maverick Sabre and Georgia Smith. I wanted to throw something contemporary in because there's so many incredible contemporary new soul artists out there. I mean, it's really rich at the moment. You know, there's some great stuff going on. Both of these songs, we had what we call the big speaker playback, which is he's got these two incredibly massive and incredibly amazing speakers up his gaff. And we always go, can we have the big speakers on now? You know what I mean? That's what we always go for. And he played me that track, the slowdown track on the big speakers. And I was just like, you know what, when you hear music for the first time, which like, it's incredible. You never get that feeling back, do you, when you hear a track for the first time? You might play something about 20 times after and go, yeah, it's amazing. But that first time, and it pins you to the wall and you just go, that's fucking incredible. Yeah. You know what I mean? And that was one of those sort of times. That's why I wanted to pick that tune in particular. But also the fact that it's obviously a contemporary artist as well, which, you know, we're listening to a lot of that stuff now and trying to push our sound sort of forward as well, because I think that's really important in music in general, you know.
Absolutely. Well, we put together a Spotify playlist featuring all of your choices, and we'll throw in some of the other songs that we've spoke about, and we're throwing some Stone Foundation music as well, and so people can go and listen to that once they've finished listening to this episode. Looking at 2021 as being a far more freer and enjoyable place to be. What are you looking forward to personally, and what have you got happening professionally?
Personally, I'm looking forward to hugging people and shaking hands with people. You know what I mean? I was talking with one of my mates about this yesterday, and it can't become the norm, that, can it, Stu, where you go towards someone and go, and they go, oh, like that. You know what
no
I mean?
One wants an elbow, mate. I'm always straight in for a cuddle, mate. Like, it's like, always. It's like...
You're exactly right, mate. I'm a cuddler, mate. You have to do that. I think it's really important. I can't wait for that. I can't wait to tour again. I can't wait for that feeling, because Stone Foundation gigs, I think, are always really wonderfully social affairs, you know. People always say to us, it feels like a family, you know what I mean? People come together, they've all got that same state of mind, that same point of view on life, that same love and shared community thing, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they always feel like wonderful community events. And when you've got a packed venue in front of you, and that it's that feeling of love, you know what I mean?
Totally.
That's what I'm missing, togetherness, that thing. As regards professional stuff, we've already demoed a complete new record. We've only just bought Is Love Enough out last month. So we just thought, you know, me and Neil Sheesby just thought we need to just crack on with this now. And so we got our heads down and wrote a complete new record, which we're hoping to get in the studio, hopefully at Paul's place really soon, to crack on with that and get recording and get that one finished for possibly late 2021, maybe early 2022, just dependent on, because you know what's going to happen next year. Everyone's going to put out new records, isn't they? So, you know, we'll wait and see. We'll let this new one sink in with people first, I think.
Where's the best place for people to keep up to speed with what's happening with Stone Foundation?
We've got everything, really. Facebook page, Instagram page, Twitter, The website, obviously, stonefoundation.co.uk. So, yeah, they can just keep up with all that. We've got a massive tour at the end of 2021. We're hopefully doing a couple, they're both sold out, but we're doing two socially distanced gigs at the Jazz Cafe in December. So hopefully we will be playing those gigs, because I've just got a feeling they're going to let us out our hutches in December, mate. That's my feeling anyway, you know. Is he going to be known as the Prime Minister who cancelled Christmas?
I don't really envisage he's going to change many people's opinions on him that are already firmly made up anyway.
Well, at least I'll brush my hair this morning, mate, anyway.
Good effort. Neil, it's been an absolute pleasure talking records with you. If it's all right with you, I'll tag you in all the posts when this come out, so people that might not be up to speed on Stone Foundation can go and explore and listen to the glorious music that you make.
Brilliant. Thanks so much, mate. Thanks for having me on.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you. There you go. Oh, what an absolute gentleman. A really nice chat. We carried on having a real natter afterwards, and hopefully going to get down to the Jazz Cafe for some of them socially distanced shows in December. Thanks to you lot for listening. Really appreciate the time and support you've been giving this podcast over the last sort of 2 years. And in them 2 years, there's been some amazing chats. So like I said at the beginning, if this is your first time listening, then go and have a look in the archives and dig into some cracking chats with some wonderful people. Have a lovely day. I'll be back next time. Stay safe. See ya. Bye-bye. I've got an announcement. Save Our Souls Clothing. www.sosclothing.co.uk. Why am I telling you this? Because they're our official sponsor. Yeah, that's right. Go and check them out, because their clothing is off the scale. You're going to love it. So they've decided they want to be our sponsor, which is amazing. And what I have to do is I have to tell you about why they're amazing. So here's a little bit of blurb. So they've only been going a year, and they're based in Southend-on-Sea, just up the road from me. They put the company together based on a love of tattoos and alternative music. And they've worked with some of the greatest artists around the world to produce these items of clothing that are as unique as you lot. All of the designs are printed using biodegradable, sustainable and water-based inks. In addition to that, they only print on garments made by members of Fair Wear Foundation. I mean, come on, great clothing and a conscience. Since going live in April last year, they've seen their audience grow massively and are now selling orders all across the world. And they were recognised by Cosmopolitan magazine as one of the best sustainable clothing brands, alongside names such as Stella McCartney. I mean, that's quite a first year, right? So go and check them out, because they've put a lot of love into supporting this podcast, and I couldn't be happier. What else they've done is they've given you 15% off. So if you head over to www.sosclothing.co.uk, do a bit of shopping, see what you like, throw it in the basket, and then on the way out, put in the discount code BEAT15, BEAT15, and that'll save you 15% off. Amazing, right? www.sosclothing.co.uk, official sponsors of Off The Beaten Track podcast.
It's Off The Beaten Track podcast on the Distraction Pieces Network. With me, Stu Whiffin.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.